Well, the ratings agency Fitch doesn't have too much faith in our ability to pull ourselves back from the brink. At least that's reading between the lines of a report today. Nazmira Moola, the head of the South Africa Investments at 91. Fitch sort of saying to us, we're in a deep hole and we're not doing nearly enough to dig ourselves out of it, Nazmira.
I think that about sums it up, Bruce. I think they are skeptical on government's ability to hold the line on wage increases in the public sector. But more fundamentally, I think they are concerned about the lack of execution in boosting growth.
Yeah, I mean, and it's that, I don't know, the refusal to take tough decisions. Amongst those tough decisions is the public sector wage freeze. Tito Mboweni was adamant in his budget speech that it was required in order to, you know, limit the downside of the budget. He said it was absolutely critical in order for him to be able to balance the books at some point in the future. Yet, when it comes to the public sector wage negotiations, government effectively was looking to crowdfund ideas as recently as 2 weeks ago on how to end the impasse.
Bruce, I think we need to give them some credit on holding the line here. So last year there was absolutely no budging from the government side in terms of the 0% wage increase. That was what was implemented, that's what's been held, and now they're going into negotiations for a new three-year cycle. And unions are demanding a lot more, they're going into mediation around it, but so far, I think the government has done a far better job than I had expected of holding the line, and hopefully that will continue.
If it comes at a price of, you know, what's our newest, most popular phrase, total shutdowns, if that is the consequence of it, do we just need to grin and bear it? I mean, winter's always tough enough in South Africa. August generally turns out to be our strike season. I worry that we'll head to quite a messy autumn and winter.
I think it's quite difficult for public sector workers to justify a strike at this point in time, given the pain that private sector workers took last year. You've seen quite significant job losses in the private sector. You've seen salary cuts happening at various companies in order to try and preserve employment. Whereas the public sector, wages were kept whole through last year. And I think we would like to offer every nurse, doctor, a bonus after, you know, everything they've had to live through with COVID. But most of the teachers in the public sector didn't work for 3 to 5 months of last year. So it's very difficult to justify strikes on that basis. Having said that, I think there may be a lot of noise around it. I don't think there is a hell of a lot of appetite to actually implement it at this point in time.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a standoff, and we hope that common sense prevails. Perhaps more immediate and more concerning is the imminent vaccine rollout and how efficient and how effective we're going to be. By all accounts, it seems like we're going to get plenty of supply over the next 6 to 8 months or so. The question is, can we get enough of that supply into enough arms to get enough people immunized against the very worst effects of COVID-19 without shutting down large parts of the economy all over again?
So there's two parts there. One is the vaccines, the other is what does tightening restrictions look like if there's a wave three, when there's a wave three. So the vaccine side of it, it sounds like we have procured around 20 million Pfizer doses, which means 10 million people can be vaccinated through that. It's not entirely clear from the Minister of Health communication when exactly those will be arriving. They've started, but it seems like we are starting to pick up some speed in terms of vaccine acquisition. And I think the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, despite some limited question marks, will be rolled out in the near future. So that's the acquisition side. The other is the deployment. And that, I have no more information than you. The critical point is right now is going to be whether the government's booking system, this website for appointments that they're launching next week, works. I understand it's been done in conjunction with the private sector, so I'm cautiously optimistic, but let's wait and see what happens there.
Yeah, and it is. It's the efficacy of that rollout. It's the efficiency of that rollout. It's the ability to build confidence in the rollout that is so important. And ensuring that people go out and get their vaccines as well is going to be absolutely pivotal. We were just talking to the Actuarial Society of South Africa earlier and saying, you know, it's so important that we get this vaccine program underway, because without it, or with delays, we run the risk of multiple further waves of COVID-19. And a government that, you know, what do they say? If the only tool you have at your disposal is a hammer, then every problem looks like a nail. Government has shown itself open to shutting down the economy. If that's the only tool it has at its disposal in a crisis, it's a tool that it won't be afraid to use, and that could be devastating.
I think there's been massive learning within government around shutdowns. And we've seen that over the course of the last year. So initially you have this massive hammer being applied and very dramatic shutdowns being implemented. By the time we get to December, when we had arguably a much worse experience than we did in the first wave, most provinces did, the restrictions were much lighter. So I wouldn't, you know, if you think about the restrictions applied in April, May, and call those a hammer, I don't think we can call late December, January a hammer, unless it was a rubber hammer.
A mallet. It was a lightly well balanced mallet. No, I concur with you on that particular point, that we're learning the lessons and the consequences of hard lockdowns. Just give me a perspective, if you will, Nazmira, on inflation. It's looming in global markets, that it's a big factor. Chinese PPI today, producer price inflation, and rising commodity prices leading to all kinds of panic and concern. Are you worried yet about the looming specter of global inflation and sort of deflating the value of markets and companies and shares that we've seen increase so wonderfully over the last year or so?
So I think the point is going to be how much inflation. I think we all want to see a bit of inflation come into the system. There is that inflation is very bad for all this debt that's been taken on in the world, but we don't want so much inflation that central banks around the world feel the need to rein in the money they've poured into the system and start hiking interest rates aggressively. That's the point, that it becomes too much. So what we're seeing at the moment is a cyclical tick up in inflation, largely driven by the base effects of last year. Very low base effects are pushing inflation up. The concerning point is that you're starting to see widespread increases in a range of commodity prices. The food price index in the US is up 40% since the beginning of this year. We know oil prices are higher. And we're starting to see wages start to tick up across the US, particularly at this point in time. And then you mentioned the Chinese data we saw this morning. So, Bruce, if that inflation starts to translate into structural inflation, what they call core inflation, that's when I think markets will start getting worried. For now, the weakness of the job data on Friday last week in the US has provided quite a bit of comfort to markets, because it keeps going back to inflation matters because it may force the Fed to hike sooner. The jobs data from Friday mitigates that inflation pressure, because the Fed, Jay Powell, has been very clear that he is focused on employment.
It's very big. But it's so important to keep an eye on all of the data points. Thank you, Nazmira Muller, the head of South Africa Investments at 91. Looking at data points in isolation is incredibly dangerous, and you begin to become a little bit schizophrenic in your view of markets. It's either all going to be fine or it's all going to be a disaster, and you do have to have a broad sway, the broad understanding of what is happening in the global economy right now, as beautifully expressed by Nazmira Muller this evening, the head of South Africa Investments at 91. In a moment, Arthur Goldstuck joins us. Arthur is, of course, an expert in the technology sector. He is the managing director at Worldwide Works. With him in a moment.